Well, good morning. Welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are here to rejoice and be glad in it. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the first time or you just have started attending West End, we're pleased you're here, and those of us who are here on a regular basis want to meet you, want to wish you well and welcome you, and hopefully you'll decide you will find a home here. Now, if we don't get to you quickly enough, you come introduce yourselves to us because we do want to know you. One of the ways that you can be a part of what God is doing in and through this church is to look in your bulletin, at the bulletin insert. There are lots of different ways of being involved in what God is doing. I'm going to lift up just a few, but they're all important. I hope you'll read them all. In just a few weeks, we're going to start our annual Room in the Inn program, housing folks who would otherwise be on the street. This begins Wednesday, November 6th, continues every Wednesday through the end of March. There's a sign-up board in Reed Hall. You can sign up for the various jobs there. If you have questions, you can call Sarah McCormick during the week. But we are pleased to be able to be a part of this ministry and to invite you to be a part of this ministry to others as well. Our 2013 Charge Conference will be this Thursday, October 24th at 6 p.m. in McWhorter Hall. Child care is offered, but you need to be in touch for reservations for child care. If you're a member of the church council, you're expected to be there. If you are a church member, you're welcome to be there. It's a time when we celebrate what we have been able to do in terms of ministry during the past year or so, but it's also a time when we are able to dream and plan about God's vision for us in the future. So this coming Thursday at 6 p.m. in McWhorter Hall, I hope you'll join us. On Wednesday evening, our current program will have a conversation about stories, and that conversation will be with Ray Waddle. Many of you will know that Ray was the religion editor at the Tennessean for a number of years. Ray continues to write a column, a regular column for the Tennessean, but Ray and his family moved back to town, so we were fortunate enough to get him to come and to have a conversation on the intersection between the religious story that we attempt to live and that cultural story in which we live, in which all of us live. So that will be at 6 p.m. this coming Wednesday in the Four Story Theater. I know you'll want to be there for that. Our today service of prayer and healing is today at 5 p.m. It will meet in the gymnasium around the labyrinth. And for any of you who are seeking a time of calm and meditation and respite and prayer, it's the perfect service for you to try if you haven't. Finally, our all-church lunch will be next Sunday after the 11 o'clock service. If at all possible, please make a reservation and let us know you're coming. We always try to make enough for anyone, surprise visitors, but it does help us to know that you're coming if you know that you're coming. So, God is present on the brightest day and in the darkest night. God is present in this place right now. I invite you to open your minds, your hearts, your eyes, your ears, and your lives, and then see what God can do.
We gather here from many different places to worship.
We gather with different stories, different dreams, and different perspectives.
Although all different, we accept God's call on our lives.
God's call to view the world as God does and be the loving light of Christ.
Let us now confess to God our awareness of how difficult it can be to move outside of ourselves to love and serve others. We gather as people from many different walks of life, different perspectives, and different priorities, but we gather under the shared identity as the body of Christ. Forgive us when we forget that it is our love for us that holds us together, and we allow our own ideas and priorities to get in the way of responding fully to your call on our lives. Forgive us when we fail to trust you completely and fail to open our hearts fully to you. Forgive us when we try to control, manipulate, and exclude others. Forgive us when we are unaware of how easily we allow our perspectives to overpower the perspectives of others. Awaken us to your desire for a world where we can recognize your love in our lives and share that love with others. Amen. We believe God loves everyone unconditionally. This means you and you and you. This means us. Accept God's love and forgive yourself because God does.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Nathan Thomas Fend and Amanda Pullins Fend bring their daughter, Caroline Grace Fend. Excuse me, that is not correct. That was the early service. Great. This morning, Jared DeBose Smith and Ashley Thomas Smith bring their daughter, Emma Catherine, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. This day, Jared and Ashley are here to present this beautiful baby who happens to be our youngest Commodore who's celebrating yesterday. Jared and Ashley, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If you do, say we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care?
God's help.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by the Holy Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin, to clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you in the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. In what name is given this child?
Emma Catherine.
It's a great name. Emma Catherine. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to lay hands on. Emma Catherine, May the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, this is our newest connection. We're all tasked with looking over this beautiful child. She's going to grow up in this church, be an active participant, and this is especially joyful because Jared and Ashley were married here not that long ago.
Will the congregation please stand and face Emma Catherine? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Emma Catherine to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Emma Catherine. And we welcome you to Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the epistle. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the mystery of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciled to the world, to himself, not counting their transgressions against them, but entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to come up and join us, we're glad to have you do so. Here comes some more good. Come on down. I have a story for you today that some of you may already know, but you may not know it exactly the way I tell it. It's what we call a folk tale. It's a tale that people tell around the world in many different places and many different times. And the particular telling that I have comes from a place in Europe called Portugal. Once there was a monk. Now, a monk is kind of like a pastor, okay, wearing long robes, such as that. But this monk was wandering through the countryside, and he was very hungry. He hadn't eaten in a long, long time. Well, he came to a village, and the villager saw that the monk was coming, and often monks would ask for food and beg, so they hid all their food. They said, "We hardly have enough for ourselves. We certainly don't have enough to share." So the people who had sacks of potatoes put the potatoes in the cellar. The people who had carrots hid them away. The people who had soup bones hid those. Everyone took the food they had, and they put it where the monk couldn't see it. Well, the monk came into town and said, "I'm awfully hungry. I wonder if you would have something for me to eat." And the people said, "We barely have enough for ourselves. We certainly don't have enough to share." The monk said, "Well, sounds like we're in the same situation. You and I are a lot alike. We're both hungry, and neither of us have food. I'm going to teach you something, and it's going to be magical. I'm going to teach you how to make soup from rocks, from stones." He said, "Soup from stones? You can't do that." He says, "Of course you can. Bring a large pot, fill it with water. We'll get some nice stones and put in there, build a fire under it, and before you know it, we will have stone soup." Well, the people thought that would be pretty handy if they could do it, so they set the fire out, they put the pot on top of it, they filled it with water, they made sure the fire was burning nice and hot, they put the stones in the pot, and it started to bubble. The monk leaned over and sniffed and said, "That's great. But you know what really makes stone soup a little extra wonderful? If we had some potatoes, just a few potatoes, it would be great." And the family who had hidden their potatoes said, "Well, we may have a few." So they got the potatoes. The monk cut the potatoes up and put them in the soup and leaned over and smelled it again and said, "You know what really, really helps stone soup would be a few carrots. Anybody have carrots?" Well, the people who had the carrots brought their carrots out. The monk cut them up in there. He sniffed again and said, "There's nothing like a soup bone to go in stone soup. If anybody just had a soup bone." So the people who had hidden their soup bone brought it. Next he said, "Turnips. If we had a few turnips." The people who had the turnips brought them. The soup was smelling really good by now. He stirred it and he took just a taste and said, "It's wonderful, but if anyone just had a little salt." Well, salt was very, very precious in those days. But one of the families had some salt that they had put back. They brought it out. He sprinkled a little salt in there and they all dished it up and there was enough for everyone and there was soup left over. All made from stones. I heard that story when I was probably your age, and I've heard it in other versions since that time. But it always strikes me that, you know, when we share what we have, there's always enough, and usually more than enough. It's sometimes our fear that keeps us from sharing. But when we put in the little that we have, whatever that is, and add it into what everybody else has, it turns into something very, very special. If the people who ate potatoes had only eaten potatoes, it wouldn't be as good as that soup. Or if the people who had only had carrots had only eaten carrots, it wouldn't have been as good as that soup. There is something wondrous and magical that happens when we all come together and we share what we have. That's what Jesus teaches us to do as well. And that's a part of what St. Paul was talking about in the passage that you just heard. So as you listen to me tell some more stories in the sermon, think about how people can bring whatever it is they have, put it together with what everybody else has, and make something really wonderful. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for giving us each something to share. Thank you that when we share it, it turns into something even more and better than we could imagine. Thank you for the example you gave us in Jesus to teach us how to do these things. We want to follow his example, and we pray in his name. Amen. Thank you all for coming down. In 1997, when I was appointed to Blakemore United Methodist Church, I walked in that front door, and there was a big drawing on the wall. It was done by a fellow named Donnie Agula. Some of you knew Donnie. There were drawings of each of the three church buildings that Blakemore had been in. There was the current building that you can see as you drive down West End and then on toward Harding Road. There was the building that no longer stands, where Bricktops is now and where Houston's used to be. And then there was a little white frame building that was on Natchez Trace. It was a very simple look, kind of like a country church. I knew that Blakemore had been started out of a Sunday school class here at West End, and named for one of the members of that Sunday school class. So when I got here, with the help of some of the folks who work with the history of the church, I began to look at some of the photographs of the churches and drawings of the churches where West End had been. You see, 140 years ago, this October, this month, West End became a station church. It ceased to be a missional church. It became a station church. And we're celebrating that beginning now all the way through this next year, this 140-year history. It was started out of McKendree Methodist Episcopal Church South. And so McKendree birthed West End. West End birthed Blakemore. When I was looking at the drawings of this building, of course, but then the previous building down the street, I found that when West End started, it was in a little white frame building on Natchez Trace. So that when West End moved out of that little white frame building into its next location, it didn't sell the building, it started another church in that same spot. So I've served two churches that began in the same little building. How many people can say that? It seems to me that that spirit of McKendree birthing West End and West End birthing Blakemore is something of an image of what can happen when all of us come together and share what we have in order for the whole community to benefit. Now, St. Paul was writing into a very contentious situation. The churches in Corinth were influenced by a variety of religions in that area. Even among the Christian communities, there was great disagreement. And so Paul addresses that by making what is still a pretty startling statement. Jesus died for all. He doesn't say Jesus died for Christians. He doesn't say Jesus died for people who have the right theology. He doesn't say Jesus died for good people. Jesus died for all, not counting their sins against them. Thank goodness. But God was in Christ reconciling the whole world back to God, bringing the world closer to God, and then giving us the example in Jesus to go out and bring people closer to each other, giving us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, here we are right in the middle of considering John Wesley's general rules. Those of you who have been around have heard this, but some of you may not have. The first general rule was do no harm. We looked at that. Now we're in the middle of looking at the second general rule, do good, the other side of the do no harm. Soon we'll be looking at practicing those practices that keep us close to God. But today we're thinking about doing good for others. And to do good for others, it seems to me we have to have a different mindset. Now, that's not original with me, because you heard St. Paul say it just a few minutes ago. We no longer view other people from a human perspective. The words are katasarka, which means according to the flesh. The flesh is not the body. There's a different word for that. The flesh is whatever is in opposition to the way Jesus does things. We don't see people according to the flesh. Even though we once saw Jesus that way, we no longer see him that way. When we look at other people, there's a new creation. When we look at ourselves, there's a new creation. That looking from a human perspective, we might call the human stain. It's kind of hard to get out. It has at least two aspects. Looking at someone from a human perspective may mean, I'll be that person's friend, but what do I get out of it? What can they do for me? I'll follow Jesus, but what can Jesus do for me? Probably the extreme of that is the prosperity gospel. I'll follow Jesus if Jesus will make me rich. I'll follow Jesus if Jesus will be assured that nothing bad ever happens to me. I'll be your friend as long as it's pleasant for me to be your friend and you're serving me. But once that stops, hey, you can forget it. That's viewing others according to the flesh, from a human perspective. There's another way that works. It's saying, I don't need these other people. I can do it all myself. I'm an individual. I'm on my own. I can do anything I want to do. And sometimes it takes the form of saying, when we're successful at something, I've done it all myself. I didn't need anybody else to help me. I did it all myself. Which is false on the face of it. How many of you gave birth to yourself? Not a one. How many of you created the air you breathe? Not a one. How many of you created the earth you walk on? Not a one. But sometimes when we see things from a human perspective, we start thinking, hey, I accomplished this. This is my doing. But you see, followers of Christ no longer see others or themselves according to the flesh, from a human perspective. Because you see, in Christ we are a new creation. And when we, like the folks who made the soup from stones, share what we have, the good is greater than all those individual goods before they were shared. I first heard that story read on Captain Kangaroo back in the 1950s. It was from a book that was written in 1947, and it stuck with me. And I've found a number of versions since then around the world. But I think the story has a hold on us because there's a deep truth in what it says. That when we pool our gifts, God adds a surplus to that. There is something more. The whole is more than the sum of its parts. Now, we're entering into our financial campaign the next couple of weeks on on All Saints Sunday, you're going to have a chance to come when you come to communion, put a pledge card down. Some of you will send it in early. Some of you will be calling after All Saints. Now, why do we do that every year? Well, the church needs money, right? Well, yeah, the church does need money. If it weren't for the folks who had an idea that they wanted to share what they had and created West End and then West End creating Blakemore, we wouldn't be sitting in this building. If it weren't for the people who sacrificed in the past, we wouldn't be here to worship. And if people are going to continue to do that, that's our job, our responsibility. But that's not the most important reason. You see, if I had a goal for any financial campaign, it would not be a certain number. It would be that everyone believed that they could take part in what God was doing in and through this church. Now, money is a part of that, but your time is a part of that. Some folks have a lot of time and very little money. Some folks have more money and less time. Some folks have little of either, but are willing to come as they can and take part in what God is doing right now, which will shape the future for our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. My goal would be to have 100% participation. Have everybody do whatever it is they can. The folks who have potatoes, bring potatoes. The folks who have carrots, bring carrots. The folks who have a soup bone, bring a soup bone. The folks who have salt, bring salt. And we put it together. And together, God creates something larger than the sum of all of our gifts. It seems to me that a part of ministering to a world that is broken, just listen to the news, listen on radio, on television, on the internet, read papers. This world is sadly broken and in desperate need of the ministry of reconciliation, of not seeing other people as tools or as demons, but remembering that Christ died for all, even that person who disagrees with me. If that ministry is going to be continued, I hate to shatter your bubble here, but Congress is not going to do that. Okay? If that is going to continue, it's going to be the church. It's going to be us who make that witness. And how are we going to continue to make that witness if we don't bring our gifts together? Our time, our skills, our knowledge, our brokenness sometimes, so we can hear the stories of the brokenness of others, our money. How will that ministry of reconciliation continue? Because you see, God was in Christ reconciling the world back to God and giving us the ministry of reconciliation. The only question is, are we going to accept that invitation? We affirm our faith in a lot of different ways. Many times we go back to words from the Christian tradition. Today, however, we're going back to Scripture. I would invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 887 in your hymnal, and we will affirm our faith using words from the book of Romans. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No, in all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. We are grateful that God has called us together for worship today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. And if you are a first-time guest with us, we invite you to please join us for a time of fellowship after our service in Reed Hall, which is through the doors to your right. If you are new to our community, we invite you to stop by the Bread for the Journey table, where you will find information about the many ministries of this church, as well as a tasty treat. We invite you to please note the gray cards in the pew racks. One side is for any comments or questions for staff or lay leadership, and the reverse side is for any prayer requests that you may have. This card may be placed in the offering plate as it is passed down your pew in just a few moments. We invite you to please pass the attendance pad down your pew if you have not already done so, and register your attendance with us. And when it reaches the other end of the pew, please pass it back down the pew and take note of those who are worshiping with you this morning. Today we rejoice with David and Katie Killian, who are celebrating the birth of their daughter, Anna Catherine Killian, who was born on Wednesday, October the 9th. We also want to express our sympathy and our prayers with the family of Steve, Becky, and Riley Verner, who are mourning the death of Steve's brother, Keith Verner, who died Saturday, October the 12th, in Leland, Mississippi. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Reconciling Christ, bless our efforts to bring about reconciliation. Give us the strength to persevere without counting the hurts, and to find within ourselves the capacity to keep on loving. Give us the grace to be able to stand in the middle of situations and to be a conduit for the deep listening which can lead to healing and forgiveness. Remind us, O God, that because we have been brought near to you, prejudice and hatred and enmity have passed away. Help us to conduct ourselves with dignity, giving and expecting respect, moving from prayer to action and from action back again into prayer. Your reconciliation of us draws us nearer to our brothers and sisters in both this community and in the world. Grant that we may be so grounded in your love that our security is not threatened if we change our minds or begin to see a better way to act. The old gaps can be bridged, old wounds can be healed, old enemies can be forgiven, and new friends can be formed because of your love, O Christ. Bless those who are called to reconcile on a large scale, politicians, world leaders, leaders of business, and those who stand in the midst of bitter conflict. Bless those who long for unity of families, peace among tribes and nations. Help us all to see one another not according to human values, but as God views us all. Reconciling Christ, bless us and bless all who engage in the sacred work of envisioning new wholeness and bringing people together. Grant that we will practice love and forgiveness, mutual love and service within the church, so that we might take that message to the world. And now, with the confidence that we have been reconciled to God through Christ, let us pray the prayer Jesus taught all his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, as God has shared all good gifts with us, Let us share God's tithes and our offerings so that the entire world may know how God in Christ loves the whole world.
Thank you.
If you would like to see that little building where West End started, there's a display on the fourth floor and a display case right outside the theater with some more information and images from the history of this church. I encourage you to check that out. Now go forth in love to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. And God, who was in Christ, reconciling the world back to God, Jesus Christ, who walked the world giving us the ministry of reconciliation and the example of reconciliation, and God's Holy Spirit that gives us the strength and courage to practice that calling, be with you this day, this week, and forevermore. Go in peace.